Killer.
Hey, from a stormy East Coast where Sandy's about to continue to wreak havoc, it's Ray. That's Tall Rayside.
And it's Tay, Eric Taylor from 82 degrees in sunny Arizona. Sorry, folks, I don't want to rub it in. You know, much love and prayers go out to all my friends and fam from all the way from Virginia up to Boston and just all over the vineyard, the whole nine. Stay safe, be careful, and maybe, you know, you get a little break from CNN and all the news and listen to Ray and Tay today, this evening, and enjoy some sports. So real quick, you want to get, you know, involved and check us out. You call 718-664-9098. You can check us on the iTunes podcast. You know, our email is rayandtaytoday, that's R-A-E-A-N-D-T-A-Y, today at gmail.com. We've got this Twitter the same, the Facebook. And, hey, man, it's a big show. We're going a little longer, you know, 90 minutes. We're going to break into everything, and Ray will break it down for you. And we got a special, special guest, somebody who's missed the basketball in New York. So, Ray, let everybody know, man.
All right. So we're going to give you the breaking news like we always do. We're going to get into the BCS top 10. It's getting interesting for those top four teams especially. We're going to have a special guest, Anthony Donahue from Knicks Blog Talk Radio, and he's going to talk all things Knicks. We're going to start off our NBA preview. And then Ray and Tay will give you our own NBA preview. We'll go through the top teams in the league. We'll go through what our predictions are for the playoffs, the finals, the MVP awards. So should be real interesting. We'll see if we have the same or different opinions. We'll obviously review yesterday's games, NFL Week 8, the Sunday games, and then we'll also preview the Monday Night Football game where we got the Niners and Arizona.
Battle of the Cardinals.
And then finally we'll wrap up the show. We'll review the World Series, that 4-0 sweep by the Giants.
Congrats to the Giants, man.
Yeah, that's second big, one in 3 years.
That's big, that's big. So let's jump into, I guess, breaking news. The first thing for me that I want to really talk about is, you know, it was breaking the other night, broke real hard. The Oklahoma City Thunder just shake up their team. Harden didn't want to sign a $54 million deal. OKC said, hey, we're not waiting. Let's make this move. They send Harden to the Houston Rockets, along with, you know, minor contracts. The guys will probably be waived in a day or two. Cole Aldridge, Daquan Cook of St. John's fame, and who was the fourth? I can't even remember
Ohio
the
State.
Fourth guy.
Ohio State fame.
Oh, yeah, the Ohio State fame. And who was the fourth guy? I'm trying to remember. But basically, they traded Harden for Kevin Martin, who is a professional scorer. I tried to explain. Somebody said to me, who's Kevin Martin? I'm like, Kevin Martin wakes up and scores 20 a game.
Yeah,
you know,
his form is a little okey-doke, but his game, he can definitely trade.
He's a good shooting guard, probably a little underrated. You know, not great defensively, but he's very athletic, can dunk, can shoot. He does a little bit of everything. And then Jeremy Lamb, I think for the Thunder, hey, listen, they're getting younger with bringing in Lamb, you know, but not having to pay that max contract. You know, maybe Kevin Martin, you know, can do enough, and this will be his first time to shine. Because Kevin Martin's never really played playoff basketball, so let's give them time to see, you know, what happens with this roster and this team. And, of course, they've still got, you know, Eric Maynard coming back at the point. They can move Westbrook to the two. You've got Perry Jones the third, who's going to play a lot. So it should be interesting. It should be an interesting trade.
The guy we missed is Lazar Hayward.
Yes, Lazar Hayward, and that's why I missed him, because Lazar has not been playing ball for anybody, really. I didn't even realize he was still in the Thunder roster. So Lazar, he might get waived. That Houston Rocket team right now, you know, they have about 16, 17 players, so they got to get down to 15. A lot of people are getting cut and waived today. I was surprised to see that the Wizards had waived Selvin Mack, who we remember from the NCAA tournament, you know. So I'm surprised he got the boot from the Wizards.
Yeah,
man, he was big in the tournament. So, and the Knicks, it looks like the last two spots, you know, we'll talk to Anthony about this, but Rasheed Wallace and Copeland are going to get those last two spots. But Kobe Bryant had an MRI on his foot, man. So, Ray, you think he's going to play too, you know, opening night, tomorrow night, or what's going on with his foot?
Well, you know, Kobe, well, it's funny because Kobe sure does want to play, but I think they're going to be careful with him this year. They're going to say, same thing they're going to say to Dwight Howard and to Steve Nash, which is, if you guys want to play, you got to be smart, because this is an 82-game season, not a 66-game season, and our sights are firmly set on the playoffs and the championship and being in that finals against, you know, the Celtics or the Heat or whoever comes out of the East. So I think they're going to really try and talk Kobe down several times this year, and I don't think he'll play in the opener, but, you know, no doctor, I'm just saying. They're going to take they're going to be as cautious as they can.
Right, and then we got the NFL trade deadline because of the storm. NFL and everybody's really closed up Monday and Tuesday. So the trade deadline was Tuesday. It's going to be now
Thursday
at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
So that might give some teams to potentially move with D'Angelo Williams, some other people, whatever. So, you know, we'll see. But, hey, listen, let's jump into it before Anthony joins us with the NBA. Let's talk the BCS, baby. I mean, for me, obviously, I didn't think the Gators were the number two team that they were, you know, presenting themselves to be. And Georgia handled them and did their thing. But I'm sort of surprised at the rankings. I mean, at number 10, we got a Big East representative, Louisville. And, you know, obviously they beat Cincinnati, and that was a big win for them. But Louisville from the Big East is at number 10. Number 9, we got the Florida State Seminoles, ACC. But I just don't think after their loss they can, you know, these one-loss teams, I don't think Florida State's going to be able to, you know, get too high up. And then, Ray, it seems like, you know, I'll let you break it down a bit. It's almost like all SEC from
SEC.
There.
Yeah.
So who we got at number 8 there?
The next four SEC teams. So at number 8 is South Carolina. And if you didn't see it, don't bother looking. It was gruesome to see Marcus Lattimore blow out his knee like that.
Reminds you of McGahee, doesn't it, a bit? So let's hope he can bounce back like McGahee and still have a great career.
Yeah, we hope so. I don't know how well they'll be able to succeed the rest of the season, but right now they're number 8. Florida with that great defense but having troubles on offense is number 7. Fellow SEC team Georgia is number 6. And then at number 5 is the LSU Tigers, and next week they play Alabama.
Yeah,
so
they get settled on the field in the SEC, man.
Exactly. So that now we got rid of, you know, 10 through 5. Now the next four are.
But hey, let me ask you this real quick. Do you think Georgia? This is the thing, right? That was a big win against Florida. Maybe Georgia should have moved up a little bit more. Maybe Georgia should be 5 and LSU should be 6. You know.
I guess, you know, here's the thing. I guess it affects, at the end of the day, it'll affect the bowls because, you know, the SEC 2 and the SEC 3 and the SEC 4 team go to different bowls. But ultimately, the top 5 teams, or right now the top 4 teams are undefeated. So, to me, they're all fighting for the, you know, the seed in the BCS championship game. And you're right. I mean, look, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, they still have more games to play. So I think that'll work itself out. What I'm really worried about is that top 4. And if
right.
that top 4 can actually settle itself on the field.
And we both feel that at number 4, the Oregon Ducks have been getting jerked.
I think they're the second best team in the country.
And you know what sucks? I was thinking about this. Because USC keeps losing and the Pac-12 is not looking as strong, Oregon, you know, even if they beat USC and then potentially, you know, beat Oregon State, those wins might not be impressive enough to move them up.
Right.
If Notre Dame beats USC and doesn't lose again, you know, and Kansas State holds out, Oregon might not be able to move up. So we'll see.
Well, so let's go through it. So Oregon, just to let everybody know, so Oregon's
right.
number 4. Notre Dame also has trouble on offense, but great defensively, number 3. Well, I shouldn't say also. I mean, Notre Dame, it looks like Florida, not Oregon.
Hey, they
no
took care of business. Shout out to Notre Dame, man. That was a
big
win. Yeah,
Notre Dame went into Norman and took care of business. And then number 2, K-State, with your boy Colin Klein. Right now, the odds-on favorite for the Heisman
Trophy.
And then number one is obviously
He is our favorite, but we got to shout out Marquise Lee in the loss.
Oh, my God. 344. Well, Matt Barkley threw for over 400 yards, but 345 of it was to Marquise Lee. That is unbelievable.
That was
ridiculous. That's not even Tecmo numbers or John. That's not even.
That's not even
Matt.
That's
Madden
not NCAA numbers. That's like. That's Pee Wee football.
And Isaiah
impressive.
Thomas said, it ain't like we in high school. He's not doing this against high school competition. I mean, this is legitimate competition.
Yeah, those are some grown man stats right there, definitely.
Right. That's crazy. So
Colin Klein in Kansas State's number two, and then Bama's number one, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Bama put the smack down on Mississippi State. They were like, look, we're not overlooking nobody. First half was a little sluggish, and then boom.
Yeah,
you know.
So look, all we can hope for until we get to that top four teams playing each other, all we can hope for is if it plays itself out on the field. Now, the good thing is that USC plays two of those teams. So you could argue that USC could control the national championship game to some degree in a backdoor way, right? Because they play, they still have to play Notre Dame, right? And they still have to play Oregon. So
I think we might have a caller. We might want to, bring them in, see if they got something to say about the BCS or whatever before we get Anthony on. Let's, want to check and see who we might have to join us on Ray and Tate today.
Well, let's just wait. I think he's just listening in, and we could come back to him after Anthony comes through.
Yeah, that's cool. But so let me ask you this: what could happen here is LSU could win, Oregon State could beat Oregon, USC could beat Notre Dame. I mean, it could get really. And Kansas State, they still have a big game left. It could get crazy. So I guess if you're a one-loss team now, you still have some hope.
Yeah,
right?
You have to think that you have.
I mean,
some
you
hope.
Look at Georgia. Georgia, there's a way for Georgia to wind up being the champs, though.
I guess. I mean, you could say that they control their own destiny, but. Yeah, I mean, I don't see Alabama getting beaten in the SEC.
No, I don't. But I don't think this year LSU's team has quite enough weapons.
Yeah.
They really don't. Not offensively. The defense.
It's funny because a lot of these teams, if you look at them, except for Oregon, lot of these teams are defense first, right? If you look at Florida, if you look at Alabama,
Georgia,
even though they're young, they play great defense. Georgia.
McLaren
LSU.
Is tough, though.
I mean,
definitely,
but these
like
are
McLaren.
Really defensive-oriented teams. So that's why I really, really want to see the contrast in styles to see Oregon-Alabama. If that were the national championship, I'd be happy. You got East Coast,
hey,
West
you know
Coast.
What? Speaking of college sports and football, we'll definitely get into breaking down some college basketball as the season gets closer and starts up. Why don't you tell everybody about the preseason All-American team? Because that was kind of shocking.
Yeah, that threw us for a loop a little bit. So the AP announced their college basketball All-American. And Cody Zeller leads, Tyler Zeller's little brother, Indiana sophomore center, leads the voting. Now, the rest of the team is filled out with two other Big Ten players and three mid-majors. So that's interesting. We were thinking to ourselves, when was the last time you didn't see an ACC, a Carolina or a Duke player, or, a Big 12 or a Pac-12 player? So anyway,
well, I bet you McAdoo, by the end of the season, might develop and work himself on that team.
He might.
So we'll
this is preseason
we'll
All-America. So, you never know in preseason how the season's going to play out. But, yeah, let me read it for the fans out there. So we've got Cody Zeller, Indiana sophomore center. We've got junior forward Doug McDermott. From Creighton, if you remember him from the tournament. He's a 6'6", 6'7" shooter. And then to rounding out the team, you've got Ohio State junior forward Deshaun Thomas. And then you've got three guards. So you've got Isaiah Kanan of Murray State, if you remember him at the end of last year. He's a handful. C.J. McCollum of Lehigh. Remember how that Lehigh team beat Duke? And McCollum was the man,
scored
30 there.
Yeah.
And then you got Trey Burke from Michigan. So you've got Michigan and Ohio State and an Indiana player. So three
but
Big
not
Ten
really
players.
Household names.
Not
like
household
average,
names yet.
Yeah, average non-big college basketball fan, they don't know these guys. They know Cody Zeller, and they might know Burke from Michigan, but they don't know these guys. You know, and it doesn't mean that they're not great players, you know. But I think that the, you know, some of these freshmen will find their way. Some of the Kentucky guys, you know, Shabazz Muhammad, UCLA, he already has an injury; he'll be out 2 to 4 weeks. But you know, some of these guys, you know, are gonna, you know, start to develop, and we'll see. We'll see how this Noel kid does. They say he's no Anthony Davis, so don't make those comparisons. But we'll see. Calipari's got a crew. Seems like this year to forever. Next year,
right,
he's got a great recruiting class as well. So, you know.
Well, I'm glad they didn't have any freshmen, you know, incoming freshmen as first-team All-Americans like they did with Harrison Barnes, where straight out of high school they put him in as a first-team All-American.
Yeah, it's a little bit of pressure to put on a guy, and I think, you know, you gotta earn it on the court, right? You don't just do it in high school in the McDonald's game. You know, you gotta go out there and play some college ball, and I think that there's some guys out there that they feel are solid enough that, you know, they don't need to jump the gun and put these ACC guys, you know, on there. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, see about all that stuff. But maybe we should take this caller, or do you want to just jump into the preview before Ant comes?
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about Anthony. Let's give a little background on you know, on who he is, what he does, how he's connected with the Knicks.
Well, you know, I mean, I'll let Ant tell some of it, but you know, Anthony is a huge Knicks fan, a season ticket holder, but he has been doing Knicks Blog Talk Radio for the last couple of seasons, and he'll have to tell us about this event he just hosted. Ant was just doing some big things with Walt Clyde Frazier at his place to sort of kick off the Knicks season and, you know, get the fans hyped up and stuff. I mean, obviously, you know, if you live in New York, you know it's all about the Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets right now and sort of who's, you know, taking over the streets and the hearts of the fans, the posts, the back pages. You know, even talking to Mark Berman from the New York Post, he said this is the first time ever that in the, you know, in the Post that the Knicks and Nets, you know, the Nets have a beat writer for themselves, but that they both have gotten equal, you know, page, you know, a page layout to preview the season for the Knicks and the Nets. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So there's really a battle in the papers and the Post, the Daily News, everything. You know, Howard Beck is, you know, covers the Nets from the Times, and you know, so we'll see how this all plays out. But obviously, you know, Anthony had just had on his show Raymond Felton. And, you know, Raymond's like, let's just play ball because, you know, D. Will and some of the Nets, everybody's been talking back and forth, and it's just exciting. And obviously, you know, game one doesn't solve anything, doesn't answer anything. Obviously, the Knicks will have some injuries, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see November 1st. As Anthony has been counting down the days, you know,
Bart Scott said, can't wait.
Can't wait.
The good thing about basketball is, you know, the Knicks and the Nets are going to play each other many times, so it's you know, one game determines who's the, you know, who's the top dog in New York. But here he is. Let's pull Anthony in and let's ask him to give us his opinions.
Hello?
Here we go. Anthony, hey, what's up? It's Ray and Tay today. You're on the air.
What's up, Ray and Tay? How you guys doing?
Oh, good, Ant, man. How you feeling in this crazy storm and everything?
I'm good, man. I live in the penthouse. Okay, I don't really live in a penthouse, but I live on the 26th floor of my building. It's the top floor. I'm not sure if the wind is louder up here than it is in the first floor. I mean, I'm sure it's probably, you know, it's extremely loud. I feel pretty safe up here. I mean, I guess the biggest fear being up here is the possibility of maybe a window getting blown out. But I do live by water, but I am confident enough the water won't rise to the 26th floor of my building.
Stay away from the window, at least.
Right, yeah, that's the thing. You know, could a window possibly blow out? I don't know. I mean, I think they're strong, but I don't know enough about it. So hopefully, you know, I can see the Hutch and 95 kind of like from where I live for the New Yorkers listening in. It's completely dead. There's not a car in sight. You can barely even see any lights. It is, it's an eerie feeling over here in New York right now. It's weird. But I'm hopefully, like everything else, we'll get through it and we'll talk about it in a few days.
Yeah, man. And you know, and that's the New York way, man. Everybody, you know, resilient people, and people just handle it and then keep on trucking. But before we go forward, I want to go back, and I was just explaining to Ray a little bit about, you know, you and your history with the Knicks. But right off the bat, why don't you tell our audience, you did something really big this weekend, man, that involved Clyde Frazier and the Knicks. So why don't you tell our audience all about that?
Well, what I did was when I started my show a few years ago, I just didn't want to be a guy that does a show. I mean, I do a show. I think it's pretty decent. People love it. But when I start, it was about June of 2010, and I would, you know, because of Twitter and Facebook, it's so powerful to reach your fans and your listeners. I started doing these fan rallies, and I would get people together. I did it for, you know, to try to get free agents here. And then I did it for some big games during the regular season. I would just get fans together at a bar and get everybody excited. And then basically the season starts next week, and I was planning on doing a rally before the season started to just get fans together and get hyped up. And one of the, you know, friends of Walt Frazier, the guy who runs his social media department, Ryan Berger, reached out to me, asked if I was interested in doing an event. I picked Friday. What we did was we got Walt Frazier to be there. We got Larry Johnson to be there and hang out with the fans. We, you know, we blasted it through Twitter for two or three weeks. We had the Knicks involved. Much love to, you know, Sharice and all them for helping us out. And we had T-shirts and hats, and LJ and Clyde were tremendous, taking pictures and signing autographs with the fans. We had drink specials. People were eating. And it was about a five-hour event where we just hung out. I mean, Clyde's restaurant is awesome. It's on 37th. It actually takes up, I don't know if you've been there, E-Complete, takes up the whole block between 37th and 38th. It's the whole block on 10th Avenue. It's in a little bit of a tough spot. You know, you can still get to the Garden. You can still go to Clyde's before the game. You got a little bit of a trek to the Garden, but you can definitely make it. Party lasted like 5 hours.
Wow.
We just hung out, drank, talked Knicks, threw a couple shots back. We had a great time. I would say about 200 people came. And we honestly, I mean, the last few of us left, we left at about 2 in the morning. And it started about 6. I mean, we had a phenomenal time. Just Knicks fans hanging out,
I was going to say, nothing like hanging out with Knicks fans, right? You know?
Oh, yeah. Were you guys out there wheeling, dealing, and congealing?
And the coolest thing is, absolutely. The coolest thing is you'll be, especially for me for the show, because all the fans tweet me, they're like, Anthony, what's up, man? I'm Knicks fan 35. Or what will happen a lot is you have two fans together and they don't know each other personally. We'll be like, wait, I know your Twitter handle. You're Spreewall 32. Oh, for real? Oh, man. I'm Amari 1992. Oh, shit. Oh, sorry. Oh, man, what's up, brother? It's like, it's the coolest thing. It really is,
that's
man.
That's great.
Because, you know, obviously with social media changing everything. So it was cool to get so many Knicks fans together and, you know, just talk about the season and everybody's fired up. And listen, here's the thing with the Knicks fans, and even if the team isn't going to be that good, fans are always fired up before the season. The question is, around Thanksgiving, are you still fired up? And hopefully this year, the answer is yes. But
that's what we want to talk to you about.
Yeah, that's
where we're
going to jump in.
Let's jump right in. The first thing I want to ask you, Ann, is, I mean, obviously, you know, it's the town, it's the Knicks, it's the battle of the Knicks and Nets in Brooklyn. And I was telling Ray, you had Raymond Felton on. And I think my question stops right there, because for me, this season, the key is not about the age and the veterans and this and that. And to me, it's about Raymond Felton, him being in good shape and how he sort of handles and drives the team and handles, you know, Melo and Amari. And in your mind, where do you think we can go, and do you feel that Felton might be the key to take us there?
I agree. I think Felton is a huge key. I think Felton is he's not Darren Williams. He's not Chris Paul. He's not Derrick Rose. He's not Russell Westbrook. But he's a very good point guard. He is in very good shape. And the thing about Ray is he's a leader. He is a born leader. You know, won a national championship in college in North Carolina in 2005. He knows how to lead the team. He's the type of guy that he could, you know, he has the connection with Amari. Guys believe in him. He's all about team. And, you know, he can, for example, if he wants Melo to move to the other side of the court, Ray can go, Mel, move, and Melo will. And that's the type of personality Ray brings. And also, he's a very good basketball player. I remember last time playing in New York, I know he was playing under Mike D'Antoni, but Ray was putting up about 17 points and 9 assists a game. I'm not saying, well, actually, with Amari out, you might see Ray put up about 16 to 18 points a game the first 3 weeks of the season. But on the end of the day, it comes down to Carmelo Anthony. I mean, he's the key if the Knicks are gonna, with how far the Knicks are going to go. But Raymond Felton is extremely huge, and I think he's going to play big. He talked about it over the summer. He talked about it at Media Day. He's playing with a chip on his shoulder. He never wanted to leave New York. He truly loves being in New York. He truly knows what it means to be a Knick, and he's extremely thrilled to be back here. And I think the thing about Ray is he makes guys better. You know, like I said, he's not Jason Kidd in his prime, but he makes guys better, and he will make guys better. And he's an extremely important piece to this New York Knicks team moving forward.
All right, so that's my question, making people better. So one of the knocks on Carmelo Anthony, especially in that seven-year run he had in Denver when they get to the first round and then be knocked out in the first round, is that Carmelo's rap was he doesn't make people better. So as a superstar, now it's hard when you're not a point guard, obviously, but there are stars that make other people around them better. And Carmelo is great, and this is no knock on his individual skills, but you look after the one season they went to the conference finals where he had Billups on his team in 08, right after the Olympics, it felt like he was committed to the team and making everybody around him better. I wonder if this next time around, 4 years later, again with the Olympics, is he, you know, recommitted to that? Because as a star, he's like, to me, he's the lowest of the superstars in the sense that he doesn't have his championship. He doesn't have his, you know, deep run in the playoffs. And frankly, I don't know that he makes everybody around him better. So how do we get the most out of him and Amari together in the front court, and then obviously Raymond Felton, you know, tying the ribbon around that, and Jason Kidd and others, you know, pretty deep Knick team. So what are your thoughts on Carmelo and basically the Knicks being on his shoulder?
Well, I don't think with Carmelo it's a thing of making other guys better. I just think his, you know, 7-8 years in Denver, I'm not making excuses for him. The Western Conference was extremely deep. Every year they got, you know, a 5 to 7 or 8 seed, and they drew the eventual champion almost every year. And they put up good fights. I think Carmelo brings it every night. Is he type of player that's going to get you 7 assists a game? No, he's not. Is he the best scorer in the game? Yeah, between him, Durant, and Kobe Bryant, he is. But not about making other players better. I guess he could do a little bit better, you know, as far as maybe on the ball, maybe run some more pick and rolls, get other guys involved. But Carmelo Anthony's job is to score the ball. And let me tell you this. If Carmelo Anthony all of a sudden started passing a lot more, people would be like, how come he's not scoring? The guy gets
right.
28 to 30 points a game with his eyes shut. Watching Carmelo live every night, he does bring it. You know, he gets 7 rebounds a game. He works hard out there. He does bring it. The thing with Carmelo Anthony is that he's not LeBron James. So I feel, therefore, he gets knocked for that. He's an extraordinary player. What I don't want to happen with Carmelo Anthony is what happened with Patrick Ewing, where, you know, there was a huge part of the fan base, and I know Ecomplete knows about this, and we could talk to Edgar about this. You know, Edgar knows about this too from working at the Garden, just being a Knick fan as well. But there's a portion of the fan base that basically ran Patrick Ewing out of town, and I feel there's this group of fans that don't appreciate Carmelo Anthony. The bottom line is Carmelo Anthony is the best player the Knicks have had since number 33, and
that's right.
Fans just
and
don't
they better
get
respect
it.
Him.
He's not LeBron James, okay?
Yeah.
LeBron James is a freak of nature. In 12 years, we might say LeBron James is the best basketball player of all time. We might be saying that in 12 years. Carmelo Anthony is a damn good player. Is he the lowest of the superstars? Sure, you can say that if you want, but he's a damn good player and the best player the Knicks have had since number 33, Patrick Ewing. I think he brings it every night. I think it's just a fact of now getting a full season under his belt with the Knicks, a full training camp. Hopefully Amari gets back in a few weeks and they can, you know, start gelling. I have never loved, personally, and I said this before the trade, the combination of Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony, because you need a great point guard play. And I loved Chauncey Billups, and he was the first point guard to deal with Amari and Carmelo. But I thought Chauncey didn't really fit those two that well. I think a guy that can fit with Carmelo and Amari is Raymond Felton. And obviously, like you said, he's not Chris Paul. But Raymond Felton, we know he works well with Amari, runs pick and roll. And Carmelo, you just got to get Carmelo the ball in the right spots and he can go to work. So I don't expect Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire to play off of each other and throw each other alley oops. That's just not going to happen, like what Dwayne Wade and LeBron James do. But what I do expect is when Amari Stoudemire comes back, where Raymond Felton can spread the ball out, run pick and rolls, pick and pops with Amari, set Melo up on the wing 16 feet out where he can go to work, and you can spread it around. That's what I'm hoping to see when Amari Stoudemire returns, and then you'll see this team really click.
Yeah, you know, okay. I kind of agree with that, and I also think, you know, Amari, you know, this, you know, sis popping and breaking in the knee, and they're worried about the liquid dropping to the calf. You know, it's going to just really need rest, and I think overall he'll be fine. But one thing I noticed in preseason, he's got that lift back. His back looks okay. He lost the weight. Him and Felton look both in great shape. I guess for me, Ant, the thing that I really want to get into is the not just the Atlantic Division, but obviously, you know, get some predictions out of you, and really, where do you see the Knicks kind of coming out in the East? I mean, can you see the Knicks being a top five seed? Do you see them, if everything breaks right, possibly, you know, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals? What are your thoughts really on that?
And then you got to tell us where you think they fit, you know, vis-a-vis the Nets, because, you know, everybody's interested in who's going to be the
Oh, yeah,
we'll
get into the
Knicks-Nets
battle, because...
I absolutely see the Knicks as a top five team, at least. Obviously, Miami's number one, hands down. I think that Boston's number two. I know Boston's a good team, man. They added Jason Terry, had some other really good additions, bringing in Courtney Lee, solid player. The two kids they drafted, Sullinger and Fab Mello. Boston is reloading. They're going to be ready to go. Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett just seem to keep getting better. They're going to be better. Pacers
and
are
Jeff
a tough
Green.
Team.
And Jeff Green looks healthy again.
Jeff Green looks
surgery.
Very good. Exactly. E-complete. My top three teams in the East, you got to figure Miami, Boston. I'll throw Indiana in there. I got the Knicks in there. I put the Knicks ahead of the Nets right now, but the Nets are going to be a tough team, man. They have one of the best backcourts on paper in the league. They have a lot of good players around them with Brook Lopez, Joe Wallace, even a guy like Andre Blanche, who has been known as a knucklehead throughout his career, but is a very talented basketball player. I was talking to Jerry Stackhouse about him recently and said if he can keep his head on straight, he's going to be a hell of a player because we know he's a hell of a talent. But, you know, Josh Childress. The Nets have players, man. Marshawn Brooks.
Right,
so if that's
like
the case, then it's looking like we might have a Knicks-Nets first-round playoff series if you got them at 4-5.
I mean, that's very possible. We got, like you said, got to see how the season plays out. Injuries are a big key. You know, how teams can stay healthy. You never know how you can seed. But, yeah, that's definitely a possibility. And I'll tell you what, I was talking to Ray Felton the other night. I said, Ray, I know it's 82-game season. I know you guys aren't going 82-0. But as a Knicks fan, you guys have to win on Thursday night. Like I know for the next 5 years, you're not going to win every time you play the Nets. But Thursday night? I go, Ray, you have to win.
Now, what did he say as a guy who's played in New York? Are the fans, you know, is all that enthusiasm rubbing off on
the players?
I mean, they've been talking a lot in the media, but are they as jazzed up as the fans are?
Yes, they are, especially Raymond Felton. Ray really loves playing in New York, man. He loves the fans. You know, he loves just the way everybody takes basketball so serious. I mean, Raymond Felton's a bulldog. So, yes, Raymond Felton is jazzed up. I know the Knicks players will be ready to go. Like I said, I think for Knicks fans, it's a must-win opening night because you can't let the Brooklyn Nets win the first game against the Knicks, especially on opening night.
So, Ant, let's look out west, man. I mean, obviously we got the big Harden trade, and you can tell us how you feel about that. But do you think this, you know, big, you know, formation of the Lakers and even getting a key guy, you know, like Antoine Jameson off the bench. Do the Lakers, do they have enough to overtake OKC? And do they have
absolutely.
Enough, you know, do they have enough? But this is the thing, right? OKC, they might have gotten rid of Harden, but I like Martin and Jeremy Lamb's got developed. But I also still like Eric Maynard coming back. And Percy Jones III, who's done pretty good in preseason. So, I don't know. For me, I like OKC, but I'm interested to think, what do you think about the trade and just the Western Conference?
Well, the trade had me shocked. We've had this terminology as basketball fans over the last 10, 12 years, is what is a max player? Who's a max player? James Harden, flat out, is not a max player. I think he's very good. I mean, listen, he should get as much money as he can. Why not? We all would. I think James Harden is a very good player. You saw when he got exposed in the NBA Finals. I don't look at James Harden as a number one guy. I think he's a guy who can hit big shots. I think he's a guy who can take over a game at times. But that's because he doesn't have as much – when playing in Oklahoma City, when you're playing with guys like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, you're not going to have as much pressure on you because you have those other threats. And Houston,
and you're coming off the bench playing in second
unit. He's coming up the bench. He's playing against the other team's second unit. In Houston, he's going to be the go-to guy. And I don't think Jeremy Lin is going to be half as good as people think. That said, in Houston, James Harden is going to be a marked man, and I think he'll be a good player. I mean, I don't think he's a max player. But then again, you look at guys like Eric Gordon. He got a max contract, basically. Is Eric Gordon a max player? No, Eric Gordon is a damn good player. James Harden, a damn good player. Certainly not a max player, but I understand these guys want to max out on what they can make. I get that, but I don't think by any means James Harden is a max, but I think he's a very, very good player. I think Kevin Martin will definitely help. He means definitely help with OKC. He can't do as much as James Harden, but he's probably maybe even a better scorer, definitely a better shooter than James Harden. James Harden can do more things. He can set guys up. He can handle the ball. You can put James Harden in pick-and-roll situations. Can't do that as much with Kevin Martin, but there's no doubt that Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook will get Kevin Martin some open looks. And Kevin Martin is a marksman, man. You give him a second, and it's 3 points.
And Jeremy Lamb, as an athlete on the wing, that helps give them some depth because one of their problems for OKC was depth. And if they can add Percy Jones and if he can play bigger or as big as his frame, as his 6'10 frame, and Jeremy Lamb on the wing, they just got deeper. I actually like that trade a lot for Oklahoma City. Look, I hate to lose Harden, but again, like you said, he's not a max player. And so instead of sinking your money into...
And that's not... And I don't mean to cut you off. It's almost like if you say a player nowadays is not a max player, it's an insult. Let me tell you, there's only a few max players in the league, and I'll tell you who they are off the top of my head real quick. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, Chris Paul, Darren Williams, Derrick Rose,
maybe
Dwight Howard, Carmelo
Anthony. And Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. Am I missing anybody?
No, that's pretty much it. People could debate Kevin Love.
No, he's not. If Kevin Love was a max player, and I'll even say this about Darren Williams, if Kevin Love was a max player, he would at least get the Timberwolves into the playoffs.
Oh, I don't know. The talent around him is such a drop-off.
You can't ask for more
than 23-14 from
a guy. I mean,
I got
to say, listen, I used to not give Kevin Love love.
But Kevin Love
last season, he got busy. I mean, his jump shot improved from the three. The way he gets on the boards, he was out dueling and just took it to Blake Griffin in their one-on-one matchups. Kevin Love, he's kind of nice, man. He's stepping up.
And Kevin Love is a really good player. Kevin Love is a very good basketball player.
Yeah. I mean, he's a young guy too. I mean, let him grow into his man body and his man game. But no, your point is well taken. That max label is thrown around, and if you're not a max player, then it's not a dis. It's not. Like you said, there's only 10 players that are max players that can really put a team on their back and take them from there. And the fact is that Oklahoma City has two of them. Russell Westbrook, you could argue, but let's say they definitely can't afford to have three of them. So I think in the long run they made the right move. Now the question is, Houston now has a lot of money in Ashik, in Jeremy Lin,
and in Harden.
James Harden. So I don't know if that's money well spent in Houston.
No, that's true. I mean, they definitely overpaid Ashik. They absolutely overpaid Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin is not going to be what he was during that 10-game stretch of Lin sanity. And James Harden is a quality player, but these are moves Houston made. They seem like they really like, and they should be at the very least. Houston should be a fun team to watch. I don't think they're a playoff team, but they're a fun team.
Right. So, Ant, listen, man. Before we have you go, I definitely want to lock you down, man. Get you some picks, and we'll definitely have you back, around the All-Star break to see where the Knicks are and the rest of the NBA. But right now, can you give us your final, your champ, and your MVP?
Well, the champ, I don't want to say because it just I
know
who it's going to be. I know who it's going to be. I
no,
pray to God
soul,
it's not.
Man. I know, Ant.
I know it's going to be Miami. I hope it's not. I didn't know it is. I mean, they're only getting better. LeBron James, you know, I don't even think he's reached his prime yet. He gets better every day. You added Ray Allen. You added Rashard Lewis. That's just dangerous. Miami's in with the championship. You're gonna see the Lakers in the Miami Lakers in the finals. And
ooh, Kobe, Kobe, the showdown, huh? That, listen,
yeah,
that's
I think
you'll
see
that in the media, right?
And I think MVP. I'm gonna go with Kevin Durant this year.
Okay. You think they're just gonna take?
But I do think. Here's the thing: if the Knicks can get to 52 wins, and I'm not saying they're going to. If the Knicks can get to 52 wins, you're going to see Carmelo Anthony in top two or three for MVP voting.
That's fair. I could definitely see that.
Amari will be out for a portion of the season, so he'll be doing a lot
of the heavy lifting. Definitely could be. That's something to watch right there, too, fellas.
Let me ask you this, though, real quick, Ant. I know you got to run, but I'm not too big on Melo playing the four. Like, okay.
Well, he loves it, and he dominates it because fours can't guard him. Because Melo,
here's the thing about Melo.
We overanalyze it. He doesn't. When you ask Melo, what do you think of playing the four? Melo's like, dude, I'm just playing basketball. So
he's very nonchalant. You're right.
He's so nonchalant. He still does the same things he always does. So fours can't guard him on the perimeter. He's too quick. And then defensively, he's better because a lot of fours play back to the basket. And Melo is about as strong as they come. So Melo just guards them back to the basket. When you're guarding fours, you don't necessarily have to run around as much as if you're guarding threes. So we analyze it more where Melo just goes out and plays.
But this is the problem. When they do that, I don't like how they do it lineup-wise. And maybe with a different roster, they'll do it different, right?
Well, when they do that a lot, you'll see Ronnie Brewer at the three. And he's a bigger two-guard who can definitely guard other small forwards.
Well, that was going to be my point because they did it last year with Novak at the three.
Oh, that was terrible.
I just think it didn't work. To me, I'd rather go smaller, right, and do Brewer and Smith with Melo, you know, or, you know, do some combinations. But let me ask you this. Juan Priglione, what do you think about him and Rasheed Wallace
He's only played in preseason, so I can't say. I've seen guys dominate preseason and do nothing in the regular season, but he's obviously a savvy old veteran. Rasheed, he hasn't played in 2 years. You set Rasheed up for open shots. He'll knock him down. He can play some back-to-the-basket defense. He can probably still grab a rebound. But especially early on, I wouldn't expect too much from Rasheed. But maybe he works himself back into shape and gives you some serious good
And how many guys ultimately can Mike Woodson play, right?
Exactly. You already got Amari. Amari's out. Iman Shumpert's out. So, you know, guys are already out already. Camby's not going to give you a lot of minutes the first few weeks. So, you know, there's going to be time. There's going to be minutes for guys to get right now.
Do you see Felton and Kidd playing a lot together?
Yes, I do. I definitely do. I think you can because they can both score. Kidd has a very good outside shot, and they're both smart basketball players where you can just inbound the ball to one of the two, and they both can feed off each other in the backcourt position. I definitely think you'll see that a good amount.
And then what do you think what happens with Brewer and Smith when Shumpert comes back?
I think Ronnie stays starting just because you don't want to insert, unless the things are going totally wrong, you don't want to insert Shumpert back into starting right away. You want to have him ease his way back. I think next year, Shump is the starting shooting guard. But I think what happens is, Ronnie will stay starting as long as the team is doing well. And you'll bring Shump and JR off the bench. The thing about Shump and JR is that they can – no, you can interchange them. Shump can play some three. JR can play some two or three if he has to. And Ronnie can play the three. So, you know, it's going to take some time for Shump. I mean, we might not see Shump at 100% until around mid-February, early March.
Okay.
Yeah, that ACL is bad. But, yeah, thanks, buddy. This is great stuff, man. You're always welcome on the show. Ray and Tate today extends a formal open invitation to you.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you having
basketball.
Me, man.
Pleasure to have you on the air.
No problem, guys.
Thanks
have
a lot,
great
man.
One.
Listen, we'll definitely have you back around the All-Star break, man.
Sounds good, guys.
All right.
All right, man. Take care. Stay safe
windows.
In the storm.
Stay safe.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Oh, man. That's great right there, man. You know, Anthony Donahue, huge Knick guy, knows all the insights of the Knick team. And, you know, it's just great to have him on Ray and Tay. And, you know, that just leads us right into really breaking down our NBA preview. Ray and Tay, we have, you know, we got a little fantasy basketball league. So if not today, maybe we'll do it today. We'll have to break down our rosters and stuff. If not, we'll do it on tip-off on Wednesday. Probably we'll do it on Wednesday's show. But let's keep it moving, man. Let's now look, for us, we're going to break it down. We're going to give you our eight teams, our conference finals, our champion. And we'll get into, you know, some of the awards, MVP, you know, Rookie of the Year, stuff like that. So for me, let's start off. I'm going to go into the East, right? So basically, you know, what Anthony said, it kind of goes for me, and it's kind of frustrating. But, you know, you don't want to, you know, LeBron's the man. He gets better, it seems like, every day. And in the East, I've got the Heat at the first spot. I've got the Celtics at two. Pacers at three, the Knicks at four. I have the Nets at five, just like Ant. And that first round, Ray, Knicks-Nets, oh, could that be the toughest ticket in town or what? I got the Sixers and Bynum. This is the key. The Sixers could be dangerous. They could easily, the sixth seed, upset the Pacers because the Sixers get it together and Bynum gets it together. And I think Evan Turner is going to have a big year. And watch out, you know, Drew Holiday, Nick Young, their whole roster should be kind of interesting.
Thaddeus Young.
And my man, Spencer Hawes. I love Spencer Hawes, the way he gets at it, the energy. At the seventh seed, I've got the Bulls. Derrick Rose will come back eventually. It might be February. You know, it might be March 1st. We'll see. But I think the Bulls have enough defense with Thibodeau and just, you know, enough savvy. I think Kirk Heinrich was a good pickup. Nate Robinson, you know, off the bench will bring energy. I think Deng, Boozer, Gibson, and Noah will carry the team enough for them to get that seventh spot. Now, the eighth spot, I was going to go with the Washington Wizards. But with John Wall probably being out for, it looks like, 2 months, you know, maybe a month and a half. I just don't know if that's going to be enough. Okafor and Nene always with health issues. But I love Bradley Beal. We'll get into that when we talk about Rookie of the Year. But I think the Atlanta Hawks with Josh Smith, Horford, Morrow, Kyle Culver, Deion James at the three, and the, you know, the backcourt with Devin Harris and Teague, they've got enough.
Yeah.
You know, they've got enough talent there. I think the Hawks, you know, get to that eighth spot. Because Josh Smith, he's kind of the man. Without Joe Johnson and Marvin Williams
we'll see
Josh Smith.
If Josh Smith is your third best player, you're doing great. If Josh Smith is your second best player or maybe even your best player, I don't know. He's got some issues with shot selection.
Yeah.
He's got some issues.
But I think in the bottom part of the East, it's going to be the Hawks battling off, you know, the Bucks and the Washington Wizards. So I think the Hawks can do that. So, Ray, why don't you break down your Eastern Conference?
All right, I think we're the same at the top and the bottom, but we have some differences in the middle. So my number one seed in the Eastern Conference is the Heat. How can you pick against them? Their only hole, and we'll talk about this in the playoffs, is interior size, you know, interior defense. You know, perimeter defense is great. Perimeter offense is great. They've got one issue of size with Haslam and Bosch as kind of their big men. But, yeah, the additions of Rashard Lewis and Ray Allen definitely give them some punch from the outside. But I think the Heat finished first. I got the Celtics coming in second. And in third place, your Brooklyn Nets. I think on paper, these guys are the consummate team. They have every role filled, right? They've got the great backcourt of D. Will and Joe Johnson, and both of them can finish games, right? So you can't focus on either one of them coming down the stretch, both great fourth-quarter players. And then the front court of Gerald Wallace, the ultimate, you know, forward. He can do everything. He can score. He can run. He can rebound. And then Chris Humphries is an animal on the boards, and he's exactly what you need when Brook Lopez is your center, who's a little bit soft on the rebounds, but he can certainly give you size. He can certainly give you some offensive punch. He's hard to guard.
I think they're still a little soft inside, even with Blatch and Reggie.
And then you got Blatch and Brooks off the bench, and I like that team a lot. I think they're the third best team in the conference. So going on down, I got the Sixers actually shocking the world. Andrew Bynum coming back. Spencer Hawes. They have some size. and all the guys you said, plus Thaddeus Young, who might just be the most improved player in the league. But I got the Sixers in fourth place. I got the New York Knicks in fifth place. We talked a lot about their issues. They're very deep. They don't have all of their stars, especially Amari, ready from jump. I think they're going to have some chemistry issues getting everybody together. Maybe they'll make a run in the playoffs, but I think they're only going to be fifth in the Eastern Conference. And then sixth, I think the Pacers. The Pacers could be as high as third or fourth, but I think with the resurgence of the Nets, the Sixers, and the Knicks, I think the Pacers drop to sixth. I think that's just perfect for them, a little bit under the radar screen. Danny Granger and the boys, they can play. Hibbert is coming into his own as kind of a big-time.
And now they have D.J. Augustine. And
Augustine,
Paul George is starting now at the two, so they're going to – it's a different
look.
Yeah,
he's long and Augustine's quick, so that's a nice little combo in the backcourt. I like
George
the Bulls
Hill
at seven. I like George Hill, our boy from San Antonio, and IUP represent IUPUI represent. Number seven, I like the Bulls for the same reasons that you do. Look, they're just a talented team. They're a D Rose away from being, you know, a top three team in the conference. But D Rose with the ACL and coming back, just like Iman Shumpert. I mean, they both blew out their ACL about, you know, a couple days apart. And so, you know, hopefully he'll be able to come back by the All-Star break and be able to contribute in the second half. I think Carlos Boozer had a little bit of a falling, his game fell off a little bit at the end of the last season, but I think he's going to be back healthy. And you know what you get from Noah, you know what you get from Dang, you know what you get from the rest of that team and Thibodeau with the defense. I think they'll be seven, and watch out for them in the playoffs. And then the eighth team, I agree with you. I like the Hawks. Almost by default, because the rest of the teams in the conference, I just don't think Milwaukee and Washington and a few of the Cavs, I just don't think they have enough to hit that, whatever the number is, 35 to 40 wins to make that, to get that eighth seed in the conference. So I'd like the Hawks to be that eighth seed.
All right, well, let's take it out west, and I'll start my west seed. One thing I will say, though, the Cavs will be improved. I love Kyrie Irving, so I'll give them a quick shout-out. In the west, at number one, I got OKC. Now, obviously, I wrote this out the other night before the trade, but you know what? I like Kevin Martin. I think he wakes up, like Anthony was saying, his jump shot is nice. I think he's an aggressive scorer. He can dunk, penetrate, but I think he wakes up scoring 20. So I actually like that mix with Eric Maynard back. I got OKC at one. I have the Lakers with the crazy starting five, and I like Jameson off the bench, Blake, you know, a couple of their veterans. They've got a couple of young guys, you know, Darius Johnson, Odom. We'll see, you know, what happens with these guys. But the Lakers with Nash and Kobe and Gasol. Nash makes Gasol and Howard so much better, and it changes Gasol's game. He'll get the ball where he needs to. So that should be interesting. The Spurs at three, I mean, what can you say? It's Popovich and then the old guys. I think they're going to even lean more on Tony Parker this year and look for Kawhi Leonard to step up. But the problem with the Spurs is inside. It's Blair and Splitter. There's not enough size there, bomber shoes, jumpers. So that's going to hurt them probably even at the third seed, probably a first-round knockout. We'll see. Clippers at four. I think DeAndre Jordan is going to be the most improved player in the NBA. I think he's going to be tough. Billups coming back. I like the veterans off the bench, even though Odom's already hurt. Odom, Grant Hill, Matt Barnes. I like these guys off the bench. And the Clippers are definitely going to be tough. And, you know, Jamal Crawford is just sixth man, going to be the man over there. Crawford and Paul is going to be deadly to stop. So watch that. The Nuggets with George Karl. And this lineup and them getting Iguodala, I love that lineup over there. Ty Lawson, you know, AI2, Chandler, Gallinari, Fareed, the rotating centers. Although I don't like that they're starting Kostas Koufos, and they should be
That'll
starting
change.
McGee.
That'll
yeah,
change.
I hope it changes, but for some reason, I know, but George Karl is weird, man. He's going to play all 12 guys, and Andre Miller off the bench, backup point guard. Fourier, but the Nuggets, we'll see. They're at five. It'll be a great first-round series, Clippers-Nuggets, I think. At six, I've got the Dallas Mavericks, and this is the funniest thing. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I've got the Memphis Grizzlies, and I think they edge out the Mavericks. The Memphis Grizzlies, I like Bayless coming over there. I like, you know, Tony Allen starring at the two. Darrell Arthur's back healthy. They got rid of Mayo, but I think it's a good move. Better field goal percentage than Island defense. And Zach and Gasol are just so tough. And Rudy Gay gets better every year. So watch Memphis at the sixth seed. I think they, you know, probably take out that third seed to the Spurs like a couple of years ago. The Mavs is seven, but I was going to say Eddie Curry might start at center. They signed Melvin, Eli, and Eddie Curry. And with Kamen being banged up, you will see tomorrow night, Ray, you're going to see our boy, former Nick, former Bull, Eddie Curry.
Former number two pick, Eddie Curry.
That's
remember
right,
Eddie Curry. And
but,
Tyson Chandler were picked back-to-back.
But listen, good for him, man. He gets another chance at life. I think, you know, they officially waived Delonte West today. But I think Eddie Curry will start at center for the Mavs tomorrow night against the Lakers. So that should be fun. The Mavs, they're good. I like their young picks. Crowder, Cunningham, Bernard James, the man from Florida State. But I think, you know, Nowitzki banged up. I don't, you know, Carter's always banged up. We'll see what Mayo does. We'll see. The Mavs, I don't see them going far. But, they, you know, they got the talent. They'll make the playoffs. Number eight is just so hard for me, Ray, because, you know, I look at the Utah Jazz and I'm like, they made the playoffs last year and they should be better. I don't know if that mix of Mo Williams and Marvin Williams is going to work out so good. And it seems like they want to play Derek Favors more, but I think Millsap is a beast. So I don't know if they're going to mess with that rotation. I've got a funny feeling that Golden State will barely edge them out by a game, and Golden State's going to get that eighth spot. I think Klay Thompson is going to be up there with DeAndre Jordan for most
improved. He's going to lead the league. He's going to lead the league in three-point shooting.
Yeah, he looks like he's in control of his game. I like Curry, but I like Jarrett Jack a lot at the backup point, who will play for Curry when he's out, which is going to happen a lot with those ankles. I think once Bogut comes back healthy, they're going to be tough. But I love Harrison Barnes, Richard Jefferson. I love, you know, David Lee. I think this team is really deep. They got Brandon Rush, who plays D, and he can play a little two and three and shoot. So that's my Golden State team right there. And why don't you break down your West?
Okay. I think we have some differences here.
So, oh, yeah.
So in the West, I got OKC winning first place in the West. We'll get to the playoffs in a sec. But I got OKC is number one in the West. I got San Antonio is number two. So they're a great regular season team. They get caught up in the postseason. They're getting old, and they're not as big. And basically Timmy and Parker and Manu are all getting older. But I think the addition of Kawhi Leonard is big. He's really going to step into his own and this year and have his coming out party. And re-signing the
Throwback Green.
Danny Green. And also, your boy, the French boy. What's his name? Drawing a blank.
Well, they have Steven Jackson.
Steven, of course.
And they signed De Cotto.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Forgot him.
True. Yeah, well, and Popovich will work them all into the rotation. But I think that ultimately these guys
and Boris
are...
Boris Diaw, that's
the name
yeah.
I was missing. Boris Diaw, B. Diddy. So the French B. Diddy. So, you know, that's a great regular season team. You know, you look at them and you say, wait a minute, they've led the league. They were tied with the Bulls 2 years ago, and last year they led the league or the Western Conference in the best record. And what they are is a great regular season team. Popovich is a great coach. The problem is when they get to play a seven-game series, that's where their weaknesses get exposed. But on a day-in and day-out basis, I got them finishing number two in the Western Conference. So OKC number one, San Antonio number two. I got the Lakers finishing third. I think what the Lakers will do is they'll manage the minutes of Nash and Howard and Kobe, and I think they'll sacrifice victories because they're that confident in themselves. So I don't think that they think that they even need to be a top three or four seed. So I think they'll finish top three. They'll show flashes of brilliance, and they'll also shut it down at times. So I think the Lakers will be third. I got the Nuggets at number four. This is the starless team, right? You got a team with Gallo and Wilson and Ty Lawson and Andre Iguodala, and they're all great basketball players. They don't have a star. So ultimately that hurts them in the playoffs when everything slows down and it's isolation, and where are you going to get a bucket from? Is Danilo Gallinari going to get you that bucket in the playoffs? We'll talk about that. But ultimately, I think through the course of an 82-game season and that depth with Miller and Lawson at the point guard position.
That's at every position.
Yeah, they're really – and George Karl working his magic, you know, getting all these guys to play and managing minutes and managing egos. And again, getting JaVale McGee's head right would help them a lot. But, yeah, I think the Nuggets come in fourth. I don't know that they win a first-round series against the number five team, the Clippers. But I got the Clippers coming in fifth. I think Billups coming back is big. My only hope is that Chris Paul isn't affected by these, you know, distractions and the fact that it's the last year of his contract and are you going to stay and are you going to go and what are you going to do. But I think DeAndre Jordan still limited offensively, but that size and that athleticism day in and day out with Jordan and Blake Griffin is pretty tough to deal with. And then when Grant Hill is healthy and he can add a little bit of veteran, you know-how and just contribute on the wing and just help the locker room with Chauncey Billups and some of the other veterans, I like the Clippers at number five. I think Memphis comes in sixth. I think that front court of Zebo and Gasol doesn't get enough credit. Losing Mayo, like you said, I think it ultimately helps them. I think Mayo was disgruntled. He was a starter in the beginning of his career. Then they moved him to the bench. Low field goal percentage shooter. So I like that team. I think they're veterans now. They're not that young upstart team. I think especially that front court, I think they can really, you know, Zebo, Gay together, that might be the best front court in the league. I mean, these guys.
Oh, the three of them? Easily. They're right up there with the Knicks and a whole bunch of other front courts. And
yeah, because they do everything, right? Gasol is your athlete on the wing. Zebo is your rebound and scoring machine. And Marc Gasol gives you that bulk and also, you know, that inside presence.
Right, Gay on the wing and Gasol in the center.
Yeah, I like that Memphis team a lot. And number seven, I like Utah. I think that they also have a great front court, and if they can get that rotation down with Paul Millsap, who really is so underrated. People don't talk enough about this dude. He's 6'7", but he gets it done.
But let me ask you, aren't you a little concerned about Mo Williams? And you know, I don't love Marvin's game. You know, he's a Tar Heel, so we got respect for him, but Mo Williams at the point, I don't know. Is he going to really get the ball where it needs to be?
Well, I don't love Mo Williams' game, but I do think that Ty Corbin's going to get the best out of him, and I think he'll get a solid performance like he did when he was back in Cleveland. Now, totally different, right? He's not playing with LeBron now, but he is playing with some excellent front court players, and I think what that does is it frees him up and it frees up all the shooters. So I think that if Derek Favors ever develops an offensive game to go along with his athleticism and his shot blocking ability and his ability to run up and down the court, then they really have.
Al Jefferson's a beast.
Al Jefferson's definitely a beast. It goes without saying. Yeah, Al Jefferson again. If he didn't start, you know, he should have stayed in Boston for his own good, right? But he got traded for Kevin Garnett and then Minnesota and then Utah. So he's been out of the spotlight. But if Al Jefferson played on the East Coast or if he played, you know, for the Lakers or for the Mavs or something like that, the world would know Al Jefferson's a player. And again, I come back to Al Jefferson, Derek Favors, you know, these guys can play. These guys, they're size, they're athletic. You know, Paul Millsap's a little small, but he grabs his rebound. I like their front court, too. So I like Utah at number seven, and I think Dallas sneaks in there at number eight. Look, anytime you have Dirk Nowitzki on your team, now he's got to come back and be healthy. Luckily, it was his knee and not – we were joking. Tay and I were joking. At least it wasn't his hand or his elbow. So I think Dirk coming back, and I think, you know, Mayo – on that team is actually maybe a better fit than Memphis because he can play D, and Rick Carlisle will have him playing D, and he can give him some explosiveness on the wing, and Beaubois, and I think Jay Crowder might be able to give him some good minutes, you know, at the forward position. So I think Dallas sneaks in there at the number eight seed.
Okay. Well, listen, let's just break it down real quick so we can get on to the NFL Week 8. But I'm going to say straight up, I'll just finish out my stuff and you can finish out yours. I got the Heat beating the Knicks in seven games. I think somehow the Knicks can get past, you know, Boston, maybe with injuries, whatever. But I got the Heat going to the finals.
You got the
and,
Knicks playing in the Eastern Conference Finals?
I do. I think if everything breaks right, and I just believe in – I think this team's going to make the sacrifices this year. I think Jason Kidd, Melo, I really do. I think Amari looks good. Felton looks good. I do. I do. I just think the Heat are too much, and I think it's going to be the Heat against OKC. I think OKC, even after getting rid of Harden, I still believe in this team. I think Durant is too dominant, and I think he's going to – actually step his game up this year a little bit more and be more aggressive. And I have the Heat as my champ. I just think this time it's going to go seven games. I think, the OKC's got a shot. But I think adding Ray Allen and Rashard Lewis, I don't think their OKC could hurt them. The Lakers could hurt them in the finals in terms of their size, but OKC I don't think can. I think they'll play Bosch a lot at the center, LeBron at the four. I think Ray Allen, man, it's going to be interesting. Battier, they've got a lot of shooters. Lewis, they're going to be deadly. My MVP, for me, it's I think I could see them taking turns and LeBron and Durant switching back, but I just think LeBron is just going to even get more and more better. So I think LeBron
bigger,
gets MVP.
Stronger. And much faster.
Bigger, better, stronger, and much faster. Now, the rookie of the year, I'm going back to the year when it was Big Dog, Jay Kidd, and Grant Hill. And that's how I see these rookies. But I see it with Anthony Davis, Bradley Beal, and Damian Lillard from Portland. But I think, anybody could pick Anthony Davis. I think it's going to be Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard tied. Lillard's the point guard for Portland. He's going to do work. That Portland team is going to be right on the edge, battling with, maybe Minnesota and these guys in Utah for the 7th and 8th spot. It's going to be just a rough and rugged battle with, for the Mavericks, Golden State, Portland, Minnesota, and Utah.
Yeah, that West is just crazy.
Yeah, it's loaded. There's a lot of talent because people forget, look, Portland, even with Batum and Aldridge and Myers Leonard, the young center, and everybody, I think that they're really tough. So it's going to be really fascinating. But I've got Lillard, Rookie of the Year, with Bradley Beal because, your boy John Wall is going to be out for a little bit. So I think Bradley Beal and Crawford will step up, but I believe Bradley Beal is going to have a big year. And my sixth man, I'm going to La La Land, to the Tar Heel, baby. This might be the perfect place and perfect fit for him. I think Antoine Jamison, as a veteran, is just going to do what he needs to do. He'll get you six boards, but he's probably, and this team could get you 18 points a game off the bench, maybe even 17. But I think Antoine Jamison will be sixth man of the year, edging out, maybe Harden or J.R. Smith or Jamal Crawford. But I think, not Harden anymore, I should say Martin, who might be sixth man if Thabo starts at OKC. But I think Jamison gets it. So, go ahead,
wow.
Break this
all
down.
Right. I like those picks. I like Beal and Lillard as a sign of the sleeper picks. I'll tell you who my picks are. You might say I went mainstream on mine.
No.
I like, in the Eastern Conference Finals, I like the Heat and the Celtics. In the Western Conference Finals, I like OKC and the L.A. Lakers. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go a little bit of contrarian in the East, at least. I'm going to take the Celtics. I think the Celtics and the Lakers are the two teams that potentially have the size to give the Heat problems. Because we said the Heat's one weakness is interior defense and size, basically. They're putting LeBron at the four to grab some rebounds, and Udonis Haslem and Chris Bosh are basically fours, masquerading as fives. But that doesn't get taken advantage of in this league because there aren't that many fives. However, the Lakers have a five and a four that can give the Heat some issues. But even before then, I think the Celtics, with that front court of Green and Pierce, Garnett, Fab Melo, Jarrett Sullinger, they're just going to throw bodies out there, and they might give the Heat problems. And remember, the Celtics think that if they had Avery Bradley, that they would have beaten them this year. So the Heat didn't run away with the Eastern Conference finals against the Celtics. The Celtics gave them all they could handle. So,
and then they add Courtney
out.
Lee and Jason Terry.
Exactly. And then in
and
the backcourt, you
Green.
Lose Ray Allen, but you bring back a healthy Avery Bradley. You add Jason Terry, who's just as clutch as Ray Allen, a little bit smaller, just as clutch, has himself
and
a ring.
And let me say, Jason Terry guaranteed
LeBron,
the Celtics will win it all, man, because he said it on HGG on another show.
He looked LeBron in the eye and basically stood up and handled his business 2 years ago when the Dallas Mavs beat and just thrashed the Heat. And then Courtney Lee, who's a solid, solid 6'5", two guard. So I like the Celtics in the finals. And then in the OKC-LAL battle, I think Oklahoma City, even though they don't match up great against that size, I think Kendrick Perkins, Percy Jones III, and, Garnett now, you know, the reinvigorated Garnett, because he doesn't want to be left out of that club that has a ring. Or that that's lacking a ring. I think they beat the Lakers in a tough seven-game series. So I like Oklahoma City, and now I actually like them even more now in the short run and in the long run. Oklahoma City with Jeremy Lamb gives them a wing athlete on the perimeter, and also Kevin Martin, a straight sharpshooter, who again, if he didn't play, you know, Western Kentucky product, if he didn't play in Sacramento and then found his way to Houston, I mean, more people would know about him. He's got a little bit of an okey-doke form on his shot. You know, you definitely, all you fathers and mothers and basketball coaches, don't teach your son your daughter that form that Kevin Martin has. But, yeah, I like, so to keep it short, I like Oklahoma City and the Celtics. I like Oklahoma City beating the Celtics and winning the championship, and Durant and Westbrook get their championship. I think the MVP is Kevin Durant. I think it's his time. He's going to lead the league in scoring for the fourth straight year. I think his team's going to have the best record in the Western Conference. He wins MVP. My rookie of the year, you said it, Anthony Davis. I mean, if you saw this guy in preseason, he's 19, 20 years old, but he plays like a man. He's Marcus Camby with a better offensive game. And this guy's the real deal. He's the truth. New Orleans is going to be happy to have him for the next 10, 12, 15 years. My sixth man is Jason Terry. I think he comes along and gives Boston that shot in the arm that they needed. I think Ray Allen's our man, Jesus Shuttleworth. But Jason Terry is going to put the Boston Celtics over the hump. I think he's going to even help lead them to the NBA Finals.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, after our NBA preview, we'll be following and, you know, covering the NBA. Baseball's done, and we'll talk about the World Series and the NFL. So, you want some good NBA, man. Ray and Tay, we're definitely going to chop it up and bring it to you. You know,
if you have any questions, hit us up on the email, on Twitter, on Facebook. We're happy to answer questions either on those media or on the air, however you want. We love to be interactive.
And also, help you out with NBA fantasy. A lot of people like to do NBA fantasy, like the football. So, you know, we're involved in that. We got fantasy teams. We'll talk about them on Wednesday. Let's take a quick break, and we'll jump into Week 8 in the NFL. Yes, sir. Listen, Sunday was great football. It always is. Every week there's controversy, there's this, there's that. So let's jump right into it. To me, we work our way back Sunday night. It wasn't much of a game. The Sheriff, as Gruden likes to call it, man, he just was the star of NBC. He made Breeze, and the Denver defense made Breeze look pretty regular. 34-14, the Broncos, McGahee, Demaryius Thomas, Decker. He didn't throw it to Dreesen, so that pissed me off on my fantasy team. But Peyton Manning's back, man, and the Saints might be done.
All right, I'm back. This is Ray. Sorry about that. We had a little.
Well, no, I just broke down.
Hurricane Sandy. I lost my phone there for a minute. But
okay. Well, I wasn't sure, but listen, you could catch up. I just basically broke down Denver and the Saints, and I said it looks like the Saints might be done. You know, the Sheriff, Al-Jul Breeze, and the defense, and you know.
I predicted them to not win. I predicted Atlanta to win, and them to finish to take one of those wild card spots, but they're done. Yeah, I hate to say it to all you New Orleans fans, but this team is done. I think what happens is you just write this season off, and you just say with all the turmoil with Vilma and all those other players and Vitt coming in after his suspension and the fact that that defense is just terrible. It's the worst defense in the NFL, and the offense can't seem to put up enough points. Yeah, they're done. I think their run as an elite team isn't over. It's just they chalk this 2012 season up, and they'll end up finishing like 6-10, maybe 7-9 at best.
What makes it worse is the Eagles are coming to town, and they're going to be even more desperate than them. And I think what the Eagles need is exactly what they're going to get: the turf indoors and the Saints defense. And so the Saints are really being in trouble next week. But so then let's keep it moving, and we got the Dallas Cowboys. How about those Giants? 29-24. Can I tell you something? I'm glad I'm not a Cowboy fan. You got to be sick. And Ray, as people know, if you listen to the show, you know Ray's sick. Chargers lose to the Browns. Jets get spanked by the Dolphins. And then the Giants beat the Cowboys. Giants couldn't do anything in the second half, and they muster up enough to just get another score and then hold off Romo. I mean, Romo, over 400 yards, played great. The Cowboys had a great second half, and then Dez Bryant, he just was out of bounds. And
he did as much as he could. That's not on him. But, you know, as a Cowboy fan, let me tell you, I'm sick to my stomach. But here's the thing. I think I finally am ready to throw in the towel and break up this team. They seem to have something fundamentally wrong with them shoot themselves in the foot. They always shoot themselves in the foot. The defense, they get blown out in the first half by the Giants, and then they come back and have this great, great second half. The defense,
they look amazing.
Great. They hold Eli Manning under 200 yards. But again, 6 turnovers, 4 Tony Romo interceptions.
You cannot win in the NFL when you give the ball away. And that's what happens. And listen, this is something I put out there on Facebook, and it ties up with all these teams, right? Who should be fired or benched in that combination of coach and quarterback first, right? So you have Mike Vick, Andy Reid. You've got Rivera and Cam
Andy
Reid's
not. Andy Reid's not coming back next year.
But you've got Cam Newton and Rivera. You've got Sanchez and Rex Ryan. You've got Jason Garrett and Tony Romo. And I put that out to the fans on, you know, out there on Facebook. Also, you know, hit us up at Gmail. But who do you think? Because to me, you could say all of them, right? Get rid of all those coaches and get rid of all those quarterbacks, because it's just not working. It's really not working. And, hey, also throw in Rivers and North Turner. But to me, Rivers is not the issue. It's the GM for getting rid of Vincent Jackson. And so the GM and Turner need to go in San Diego.
But
Rivers will be fine.
Not doing him any favors. You know, real quick, I think that Cam Newton doesn't have enough talent around him offensively, especially at the skill positions, except for Steve Smith. They haven't committed to the run. So I think he's fine. To me, it comes down to Reed and Garrett. You know, you might be stuck with Romo and Vic, but Reed and Garrett have to go. I think you need to shake up both of those teams. They don't have enough offensive discipline, and they create too many turnovers. You can't win in the NFL. It's the single most important stat in pro football is turnover differential. You just can't win if you turn the ball over.
Yeah. So, listen, hey, we'll keep it moving. We're going to go talk about these codes, but real quick, a shout-out to Sean and Russell and John James, all them Redskins. What happened, Redskins? 21-12? Yo, shout-out to my Steelers. The ugly jerseys did us well. Heath Miller. And I told you Dwyer would get another 100. He did his thing. We're just too much for them. But Vic Ballard made the play of the century, Ray. The Colts win in overtime, 19-13 at Tennessee. That was a big win, and kudos to Luck and this team, because, you know, they lose their coach, this and that. They're not supposed to be good. They don't have Peyton Manning, you know, all this changeover. Reggie Wayne, Luck, Donald Brown came back. But Vic Ballard in overtime just made a hero's run to the end zone and did the twist and dive and got in. And they win 19-13 in overtime. You got to like the Colts.
The Colts. And like I told you, I thought Luck would have a better record than RG3. And he had two – look, I'm not saying RG3's been great, but I just think that Luck is unbelievable. He had that drive in the fourth quarter, drive in overtime. They win 19-13. Indianapolis is they're a fine team. They'll be just okay. You know, they'll be just fine. Maybe not this year, but going forward, if you're a football fan, if you're a Colts fan, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the
definitely.
Next game. The Atlanta Falcons, the still undefeated Atlanta Falcons, win 30-17. And the game wasn't
exactly. Ray's been picking great all year, and I can't say I've had great picks, but I did have this one right. So I got to give myself toot my own horn for 1 second because I'm not I am struggling with the picks, but I told you the Falcons. I just felt there's something different with this team, man. They're too versatile, and their defense. You know, they put on that pressure. The Eagles, Bowles, the switch, you know, getting rid of Castillo, it didn't do anything. They got no pressure on Ryan. The Eagles didn't show up. Vic, you know, he's had turnovers, but he always still played well. This is the first time he really didn't have a great game in terms of passing yards. But Atlanta Falcons embarrassed the Eagles. McCoy, again, what did he have? 14, 13 carries, something? He needs to touch the ball more. It's ridiculous that they don't give McCoy the ball. And that's why they continue to lose. And it's on Reed and Morningwig. They need to be thrown out.
45 rushing yards for Shady.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not an Eagle fan. You know, but he doesn't get enough touches.
16
and
carries.
And DeSean Jackson, like I said, he can only go deep. The Eagles, listen, the Eagles are a little overrated, right? The receivers aren't big time. I told you they need another receiver. Macklin and DeSean Jackson are little dudes and they're not big time. But he needs a big target. He needs a Demaryius Thomas. He needs somebody else. He needs a Dez Bryant. Vic needs a little bit more toys. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. Let's keep it moving. Atlanta, congrats. Then we talk about it. Your boy, who could have been the chump of the year so far, Stafford does enough. Didn't play great. But I'm going to tell you, the Madden curse is real.
352 and three touchdowns. I mean, that was
good. No, that's what I'm saying. But he struggled. He did more in the second half. But listen, they came back. They won 28-24 over Seattle. And a shout-out to your boy, Russell Wilson, who played well. He's getting better and better every week.
Shout-out to Titus Young Sr. You know, most people put the second or the third, but he puts senior on his jersey.
That's your man, Titus Young. And you were just saying, you know, he'd have a year, and he finally stepped up. But listen, your boy Megatron's got one touchdown. The Madden curse is alive and well. He's played horrible the last 3 weeks.
At least he's not hurt. And he was saying how
I know, but it's been ugly, man. It's been really ugly.
100 yards in every game and 2,000 yards receiving.
Anyway, let's talk about Monday Night Football. We move forward. We have the Niners at the Arizona Cardinals. It's a big game out here in the desert. I got to say, Ray, I think the Cardinals have a very good defense. I think the NFC West, all the teams have good defenses. I just don't think the Cardinals can score enough. I think Andre Roberts will have a big game. They'll probably try to lock up Fitzgerald. I don't know what Vernon Davis is going to do. I don't trust the Niners' offense at all. I actually think it's going to be just ugly unless defenses score. I think it's going to be like 16-13 Niners. It's going to be a close game. I wish the Cardinals could do it. But I just don't think they can do enough. And Frank Gore, you could put up anywhere from 90 to 120 Frank Gore rushing and a touchdown for him, for you fantasy heads. But I don't know what's happening to Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis and Antonio Gates have totally disappeared at the tight end position this year right now.
I mean, Jimmy Graham has a bad ankle, and he did catch 5 balls. But, yeah, those big-time wide receivers, except for Gronkowski, you know, they're
Gronk
really
is
not
doing it lately.
But yeah,
it's been. It's been this year at tight end. It's been Gronk, Owen Daniels, and Witten, and Gonzalez. Those are the top 4.
Yeah, heavy hitting Jason Witten. Shout out to him. 17
Oof.
Catches.
Yeah, if we were doing our segment Champs and Chumps, for those who know the show, that would be the champ right there. You'd have
third
to be like, the champ is here.
Time.
Jason Witten. He's like, I'm the champ.
Wow. But, yeah, so back to this game. I think Arizona, like I said, when they were 4-0, I said they don't know how to win. They're not a 4-0 team, and they're going to start losing and come back to the pack, and I think they lose this game too. And I don't even think it's that close. I think the Niners score 24, and I think that the Arizona can only score 13. And I think that San Francisco is like the big brother, and they do everything better than Arizona, with the exception of Larry Fitzgerald, who's, you know, maybe the best player on the field. San Francisco has, you know, the next best players, the next 4 or 5 best players. And I think that San Francisco is better, slightly better defensively than Arizona, and I think they're significantly better offensively. And I don't love Alex Smith, but I certainly love him more than John Skelton.
I will say this. The only way the Cardinals can upset, and I'm going to just tell you to watch out for this,
Turner.
Your man, Patrick Peterson. Special
yeah,
teams,
okay.
baby.
Special teams.
Watch him.
Maybe
he
like
could take
pick
a touchdown
six.
To the house, and then he could take a kickoff or punt return to the house. So that's my only thing.
Yeah,
so
I think ultimately the Niners win and the Arizona goes to 4-4. I hate to say it for all you Arizona folks and Scottsdale, Phoenix. I think they're just not that good.
Yeah, you're gonna hurt my son's feelings with that. Elijah will be upset. We'll take a quick break and then we got to wrap up the World Series. Rante. Well, listen,
all right,
we've had a great show, man, and we say goodbye to MLB baseball, you know. I mean, we'll talk about the awards and stuff, but listen, it's over. Congrats. Congrats to the Giants, man. They did it.
Los Gigantes.
Your boy Pablo Sandoval, right? MVP,
Pablo,
three homers in one
Sandoval,
game.
Kung Fu Panda, Pablo Sandoval is the MVP, and again, we
batted,
joked on the last 500? Show about the World Series. It's not exactly the World Series. It's the U.S. Series.
Right.
But it's they got a Venezuelan guy. Won the World Series MVP. Yes, Pablo Sandoval was in 16 at-bats, hit 500, so it was 8 for 16. He had 3 homers, 4 RBI. But what's crazy is that he had all 3 of those homers in Game 1, and that's really where the series was won, I think. But he had
when they got the Verlander. It changed the tone, the energy. And they just steamrolled from that point on.
Yeah, once they got to, and then they won the next 2 games, 2-0, 2-0, right? So it's not like they were putting up great scores, but their starters of Zito, Bumgarner, Vogelsong, and even Kane, who got a no decision in Game 4, were just too much.
And Lincecum, give him his credit for coming in and just doing yeoman's work. But you know what it was, man? Whenever they needed a double play, they got it. Whenever they needed to move a runner, they did it. Whenever they needed a clutch hit, whether it's Posey or Scudero, you know, they got it done. And that's the mark of a champion.
So give Sabian some credit for bringing in Scudero and Pence at the trade deadline.
Oh,
and remember
much
that
credit.
They did this without Brian Wilson, who was the key in 2010, and without Melky Cabrera.
Because your boy Romo is incredible. That kid is something else.
So give Sabian some credit. I didn't love him for signing Zito back in the days and making some questionable trades, but he definitely, at the trade deadline, the getting Pence and Scudero really put them over the edge. And, that starting rotation did great. And just like the Yankees, the Tigers forgot how to hit. So they hit 147 in the series, which is the third lowest batting average in World Series history. Now San Francisco had good hitting, good pitching, but I don't think the Tigers are that bad. Now the Tigers did go into slumps in the regular season, but this is ridiculous.
It's kind of hurt though with Melky. Cabrera. It's like the NL MVP outdid the AL MVP, which will probably be announced later this week or early next week. Posey against Cabrera. Cabrera did not go out swinging. Called strike three, and that always will hurt. Somebody.
Yeah, he had the
baseball,
home run
man.
In that game to make it close.
He's great. I'm not saying that, but you always want to go out at least swinging. You know what I mean? It's sort of like Romo yesterday. You don't want to go out throwing the ball out of the end zone. Put it in play. Let somebody have a chance for a tip, a miracle. You can't just throw it out of bounds.
The
Giants did it, man. And listen, your boy Tay is working on a former Giant and a coach. I won't say any names, but a former Giant and a broadcaster. And hopefully, we can get him on the show to talk about wrap up the baseball season. So we'll see, what Tay can pull out of his hat. But, listen, man, it was a great show. Shout out to Anthony Donahue. Check him out on Nick's Blog Talk Radio. He'll probably have a show later on this week, and, you know, just thanks to everybody, and thanks for listening. Everybody stay safe on the East Coast. Ray, I'll talk to you. You stay safe, man. Your power going out. I hope everything's all right over there.
Yeah,
okay?
Time Warner went out. The lights went out for a minute, but the show goes back on. We were here to entertain. No, but seriously, for real, for anybody listening to this show, you know, stay safe, keep inside, go to the highest point in your building or in your house, you know, stay away from the windows. And if we can,
how's it looking right now outside the window, man, in New York City?
What's it like right now?
Yeah.
Well, the police were getting everybody off the streets, so they're going up and down the streets, telling everybody to get off the streets. So the streets.
Well, listen, the Cardinals about to come on. The sun is starting to set here in Arizona. It was a beautiful day. It's in the 70s now, sunny, 80 something. I hate to rub it in, but. You know.
Yeah, don't rub it in.
No. But listen, we'll be back Wednesday, right, for Halloween trick-or-treating. We'll be on a little early, I guess 5 p.m. Eastern, so 2 to 3 out here for the West Coast heads. So we'll definitely give you a little trick-or-treat stuff. And tomorrow, right, I think the Lakers beat the Mavs, no Dirk Nowitzki. And I think the Heat beat beat the Celtics to get their rings.
All right, NBA season kickoff or tip-off. So, yeah, thanks for joining Ray and Tate today. We're out.
Peace. Thanks for talking sports with friends. Ray and Tate.
Damn.
See you Wednesday.
See? That's one of the main things I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? Good versus evil. Crazy killers.
Good versus evil. Which one are you? Evil versus good. What should you do? Good, what can you say? Good versus evil, what are you today? Today it's all good. I woke up in my hood.
Yeah.
I'm walking down the street and I'm up to all good.
Nice
I picked
damn.
Up a cat out of tree and I helped the old lady cross in the street, baby. I picked up some kids when they were just lost. Don't you see that I'm par for the course? I'm not heading north, east, south, or west. And where I'm going is the E on my chest. I am the best and I'm a polite, ill, nice fella. An ill gentleman and I rock a V-neck sweater. Yeah, I can do it all right. You dropped $100. Here it is, all right. I don't rob or steal. You know I won't squeal. I keep it so real. I really know the deal. I don't even gamble. You know what, like the